Joshua chapter 1, Moses has now died. And the reins and the leadership would be given over to Joshua to take the new generation into the promised land. Under the leadership of Joshua, let's read before I get ahead of myself. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said now to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised, Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Catch that. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Once again, verse 7 says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Here's that. Be strong and courageous again. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. I already prayed. Let's get into the message here this morning. I open up here and with a simple point. Why would the Lord tell Joshua 3 times to be strong and courageous? Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Very simple message here this morning, but it is going to be powerful. If you're listening to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying here this morning. There was real strong emphasis on being strong and courageous being given to a man called Joshua. When he was known as a great warrior, just him and Caleb, 2 out of the 12, when they were sent into the promised land to spy out the land, Joshua would come back along with Caleb with a good report. He would silence the people that were saying there's giants in the promised land. It's too hard. We can't do it. Why would Joshua be warned by the Lord? It wasn't Moses. Moses had groomed them, but now as the Lord spoke to Moses, now the Lord was speaking to Joshua. And he would be giving these instructions of be strong and courageous three times to Joshua. Even though he was known for being a warrior, known for being obedient, known for being positive. One of the two survivors out of millions that died in the desert. Why would the words from the Lord before crossing over to the promised land have to be spoken to the life of Joshua to be strong and courageous? If I was Joshua, I probably would have got mad. What you talking about, Lord? I've been everything and then some. That's who I've been. But the Lord, being sovereign, would be able to see areas in the life of Joshua that still needed work if he was going to be victorious, not only Transjordan on this side of the east side of the Jordan, but also in the promised land. God, being sovereign, would see things in the life of Joshua. And I'm going to be sharing from my heart, sharing from experiences here this morning. And I say it again, great revelation is going to be given this morning. Why would the Lord emphasize over and over of Joshua being strong and courageous? Let's go to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 17. We're going to back up a little time when Moses was still leading. Going back into Exodus. There was a time here where the Amalekites were attacking. Moses was still leading. Joshua was there with them. We're going to find out that Aaron and Hur, the few names that were mentioned, at this place of battle. How many are in a battle right now? Amen. For your very own soul, more or less the souls of the lost and the bound. The battlefield is a real place. The battlefield. I got so much revelation within this message this morning that God has given, and through studying and spending time with the Lord. Let's go back to the account where the Amalekites were attacking the Israelites, amen, where Moses was still in control. I want everybody following along. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill. I want everybody really, really listening, even if you know the story. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. So here there's a battle taking place. It would come down where if the hands of Moses were up in the valley below, Joshua and the army were having victory. But as soon as the hands of Moses would start going down the staff of God, they would start to become defeated. Amen? And that's what I'm going to be preaching about here this morning. The importance of prayer, once again. Somehow or another, the Holy Spirit's going to tie in the importance of having a relationship with Jesus. The importance of spending time with Jesus as we get into this message this day. Here in verse 9 of chapter 17, Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites." The Bible says that Moses would choose Joshua, not only to lead the fight, but he would choose the discernment of Joshua of what men to take from the camp in fighting this fight. Remember, Joshua was a warrior. He knew the difference between somebody in the church that was fighting the good fight from another person that looked like they were fighting a good fight. Because the warrior is able to see what a warrior really is. A true warrior is able to see one going through the motions and not there at the time of battle. So Moses would confide in Joshua to lead the army and to choose the men. I believe, scripture don't say, but I believe Moses trusted Joshua all the way to that point to let him pick the warriors that would go with him to fight the battle. Verse 13 says, "So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword." That's what verse 13 says. Once again, why, I want to bring it back to your attention, why would the Lord tell Joshua three times to be strong and courageous? As great as Joshua was, the Lord knew that it was going to take more, three things. It was going to take more than being a skilled fighter, because that Joshua was. It was going to take more. If the Lord would repeat to him three times to be strong and courageous, it was going to take more than Joshua just having experience if he was going to succeed in the promised land and be able to lead the people. And the reason also that the Lord would speak to Joshua and emphasize to be strong and courageous three times was because it was going to even take more than obedience for Joshua to be victorious in the leading of the new generation that was about to enter the promised land. It was going to take more than him being a warrior. It was going to take more than him having experience. It was going to take more than him being obedient. And the new phase of his life was about to enter. And entering the promised land. I want to give you the reason this day, the reason God wanted Moses on top of the hill. Tell your neighbor, why did God want Moses on top of the hill? Why wasn't Moses fighting alongside with Joshua? He was up against the Pharaoh. He did all these great works as well. Why Moses on top of the hill, and why does Joshua always got to be the one that fights the fight? While Moses is just there praying all the time. There was a reason on this account. for all the Israelites, but I believe in my spirit that the reason that God would lead Moses that morning to the top of the hill was to show Joshua something before crossing the Jordan. This is one of the reasons that God wanted Moses on top of the hill, was so that the soldiers, the people included, Josh included, all of Israel could see what takes place when Moses was strong enough to keep his hands, the rod of God, raised in the air. As they were in the battlefield, let's say the battlefield's down here, Joshua was battling it out, duking it out, amen. Moses was up there. And the time of the battle, the people always had view of Moses up on the hill. He was in a place where they could view him. There was a battle taking place. People were being killed, amen, by the sword. The Bible says that Joshua overtook the Amalekites by the way of the sword. But there was a reason why Moses would be on top of the hill on this particular day. It was for Joshua to be able to see something that he needed still within his life if he was going to be victorious in crossing the Jordan and the leading of a new generation. Verse 11 says that they were having the victory. How many like having victory? Come on, raise your hands right now. Let's shame the devil, right? It feels good when we're having the victory, amen? Where things are going our way, the momentum's behind us, and it's praise you, Pastor. Love you, Pastor. Man, I got, man, I'm bitch, man. Oh, hallelujah. But it's another thing, right, Chris? It's another thing when things ain't going your way to still raise your hands and say, hallelujah, even though it ain't going my way, I know I still got the victory as long as I continue to praise and worship my Jesus. Through this story, it looked like it was Joshua that overcame the Amalekites by the sword. It was like Joshua was the one that made it happen. We all like victory. But how many like when you're being defeated and you're retreating and the fire is hot? Do you press into it, or are you talking incorrectly, saying things incorrectly, and getting further and further away from the battle? And before you know it, you have your own battle taking place, blaming it on the battle where it first initiated. Now you got your own battle taking place. There ain't no Moses on the top of the hill. Point. It wasn't what took place on the battlefield that made the difference, but what was taking place on the hill was what made the difference on that particular day. Too many times, look, it's in my sheet notes. I circled it, I highlighted, circle around it. I snuck it in there. Too many times, we get caught up in the battle instead of in prayer. Too many times, we get caught up in the battle instead of being caught up in prayer. We get caught up, our focus and everything's on the battle. And usually when it turns like that, it's because you're being defeated in the battle. But when you're being victorious, it's real easy to give the battle to the Lord. But when it's a tough battle that's defeating you, we usually get caught up in the battle that we're being defeated in, as if we can whoop what's being defeating us. So what made the difference this day was not the victory that came by the sword of Joshua on the battlefield, But the importance that day was taking place at the hill, and that's why Moses would go to the top of the hill so the people along with Joshua could see what brought victory and what brought defeat. That's why Moses, early that morning, would make his way onto the top of the hill. Even though he wouldn't touch the sword, he would grab a hold of the Lord that day, that morning. The discerning factor of the battle on the field was whether his hands were up or down. Sometimes it's hard to hold your hands up when you're being defeated. It's hard to be polite and say the right things. Here, Joshua had some more learning to do. And Moses, being a leader, he would be grooming Joshua with Joshua not even knowing it. He would be grooming Joshua that knew how to fight, that knew how to be obedient, in a realm that still needed work in. Moses would be on top of the hill. The Bible clearly says in verse 12, says, the last line says, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. From morning to sunset. This battle waged all day till the setting of the sun. Here, Moses was showing Joshua. I believe Joshua with his sword. I was watching my boys in the Nintendo game. One of them was just the sword game, right? And then he would be fighting, and pretty soon he would be lined up and they would start coming down, and he would take a peek at Moses up there, and Moses' hands would be coming down, and he would stay, and they would retreat a little bit, and then all of a sudden, Moses' hands would start going back up, and then all of a sudden, they would start having victory. And I believe Joshua was fighting and keeping an eye on Moses. He was learning something. He was fighting and keeping focused on his leader. That was showing him something on top of the hill. Here it says, till sunset. It wasn't just any prayer Moses was praying. It was a prevailing prayer. One of intercession. One of crying out to God. One of seeking God. One in trusting God. I believe Joshua and all the Israelites were looking up, and it was like looking up to see what the score was. Another revelation. Amen. You like that one, right? It was like they would be fighting just like the basketball players. Even while they're playing, they'll look at the clock real quick. The football players would do it. I believe Joshua and the guys, man, they were looking at the score clock, which was at the top of the hill, whether the hands of Moses were up or down. They were checking out the score. This went on all day. Went on all day. It was a prevailing prayer. I believe as they were looking up, I believe Moses was never looking down. Moses was never looking down. He was looking from on top of the hill to God, pleading for the people, pleading for the victory. That the victory would come through God and not a sword, even though the Bible says that the victory came over the Amalekites through the sword of Joshua. I believe Moses was just focused on God. It was Joshua and the men that were focused on Moses and saying, what is he doing? I believe in a couple of hours into the battle that they would start to figure it out. See, some of you have been into the battle long enough that it's time for us to start figuring out some stuff and not just keep making the same mistake over and over and over as if it just, poof, it's going to go away magically by some magic wand where I'm just going, ding, 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 no more King Dog, no more pink, no more. I've heard this story 1,000 times. It was a battle taking place. Tell you never, there's always going to be a battle taking place. Tell your other neighbor, what you talking about, Willis? How come Moses gets to go on top of the mountain, be on top of the mountain all the time? Because he was the leader. Ordained by God, leader. The lesson was clear. When the enemy attacks, God's people must go before the Lord. In verse 12, it says, let's go to verse 12. Not only was Joshua, they don't say it here, but this is just me, right? Not only was Joshua looking what was taking place on top of the hill through the life of Moses, that was an intercession there with the rod of God, but Aaron and Hur were watching. Family members. Family. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. That's me, man. I got a stone in my office, and I sit on it all morning long. Amen. Aaron and Hur held his hands up. It don't say nothing here. Aaron and Hur seen as the hands were up, they were having victory. Aaron and Hur, during the hours and the waging of the battlefield, Aaron and Hur says, man, we got to keep his hands up. It's in, we're having victory when his hands are up. That's where the victory is coming, through the raising of the hands of Moses. Not our hands, not the hands of Joshua's sword. But it was through the hands of Moses being up where victory was coming, because he was an intercession unto God. It was the hands of Moses that were making the difference, because he was calling out to God on behalf of everybody. Aaron and Hur would catch on. This is me again talking, amen? Aaron and Hur would catch on and say, man, all we got to do, man, let's get this big stone here and let's put it under him. Let us sit down and let us hold his hands up. It's about the hands of Moses right now that's bringing victory or defeat. And if it's about the hands of Moses that is bringing victory or defeat, man, we're going to keep his hands raised up. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Moses is sitting on a stone, and Aaron and Hur are holding his hands all till sunset, are holding his hands. And they're now, I believe, they're peeking. They're peeking and say, man, this works. This works. I believe Moses is still all to God. And Aaron and Hur, that's my son down there that Joshua picked. And that's my other son. Man, that's my neighbor that Joshua picked to fight on the battle, man. All they had to do for the victory to come was keep the hands of the man of God called Moses raised. Too many times we wouldn't want to pray for 5 minutes. This was a prevailing prayer. It lasted all day. That's why in Victory Outreach we learn how to pray. Unless your battles last for 5 minutes when the enemy strikes, can I get a witness up in the house of God? Are your battles 5 minutes long? Pray for 5 minutes then. Are some of your battles lasting longer than 5 minutes? There's some more praying to do. Well, Pastor, you know, that's a Victory Outreach thing, praying for. It's in the Bible. Jesus did way over an hour. We just want to be like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus? You better get a praying life. Or you're going to remain like yourself the rest of your life, even in a frontline ministry called Victory Outreach. Same problems 10 years later. Same identical problems. The only thing now, you got a goatee, you got some sideburns, you've matured a little bit, put on a little weight, lost a little weight. but still acting the same. Here the stone was a symbol, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 21. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this. The Lord has done this. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Jesus is known as the stone that the builders rejected. They were building something, and they left Jesus out of the equation, out of the formula of what they were building. Too many times we can be building outside of the instructions of Jesus. Here, Jesus would be the cornerstone that would be rejected. Amen. Bible says that, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will take away from you and be given to a people who will produce his fruit. I want to let you know that prayer produces fruit. Prayer allows you to know how to build upon the stone, the rock called Jesus. We've been building wrong all our lives. All our lives we built wrong. Even though we had a job and this and that and then some. Building in the sand. Building outside of Jesus. Prayer allows you to bear fruit. Prayer allows you to build upon the stone of Jesus. And in this age and darkened time that we live in, we too are going to need a place where we're able to sit down at times as I do every morning with Jesus. All the hours I would not be able to do it standing up, as gung-ho as I am. So I have a comfortable chair that I relax in and I rock. I really believe I got a bad knee because I must have rocked a gazillion, trillion, billion hours in my time that I've been spending time with the Lord. And now I think just that little motion is messing that knee up. I thought it was giving me exercise. So now I rock with one knee and I baby the other one. There's going to be times. The Bible says when Moses grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him and he sat on it. There's going to be times in this walk with the Lord in the battlefield that you're going to have to put the sword down, the flesh down, experience down, obedience down, being a big time warrior down. And you're going to have to humble yourself and just sit down. There's going to be times where we're going to need the support of the stone called Jesus. My chair in the office brings me support that I can go for long hours. It brings me support. Prayer brings me not only physical support for my body, but it brings me spiritual support. You want the support of Jesus. You better not reject the cornerstone that they rejected. We need to have the support of Jesus in our lives. We need to be able to get a time at a place where we're able to sit down and rest. I've been resting more and more as the day's going by. The school's getting further and further behind me. I've been able now to rest in that chair. It's not a lazy boy. Rest in that chair, not only to get support from the chair for my body, rest from my body for I can go for longer hours. But I've been receiving the rest of the Lord now for my body to be strengthened in the Spirit of the Lord. Here the stone would also bring Moses security. It would bring security. It would bring a protection. Because I believe the enemy, the Amalekites, not on the notes, was wondering, what the heck does Joshua keep looking up on the top of the hill for? What is Joshua looking? Why? He should keep his focus on me. I'm ready to slit his throat. Why does he keep going like that? I believe the enemy also was looking at the scoreboard. And the enemy knew, as long as that darn Moses, man, and we can get Joshua out of the way, we're going to the top of that mountain, and where are you going to take Moses out tonight? But there was a man called Aaron and Hur that saw their leader. And they knew if they were going to have personal victory that day, Aaron and Hur saw what was needed. They saw what was needed, and they held his hands up. They knew it was for their personal victory and for the victory of the team, for everybody. Sometimes you guys don't want to come under me. Better be careful, I warn you today. I've seen many come, I've seen many go. They have talked smack about me. You better be careful. Because this is a spiritual battle we're in. And your pastor's on the mountaintop. You may say, well, I'm on the mountaintop too. I'm your leader. I spend time with the Lord. I'm your leader. The enemy would even focus on top of the hill. They knew what was taking place at the top. See, the enemy here this day also knows it's all about prayer. It's not only Jesus and the people of Jesus that know it's all about prayer. The enemy knows it's all about having a relationship with the Lord. So he's going to try and do everything to keep you from having a good relationship with the Lord. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Everybody knows, both sides of the battlefield, everybody knows that it's about who you know. It's about spending time with Jesus. The Israelites, slowly through the course of the battle, would understand it. And then even the enemy would understand it. The enemy would understand it. And be able to look up at the top of the hill and say, man, that's what's happening. That is what's really happening right now. I got to stop that man from praying. I got to stop that woman from praying. I got to stop those youth from praying. When they come into church on Sunday morning, I got to stop them from raising their hands. That's why I said raise your hands today. Let's raise our hands to the Lord. Raising the hands represents victory, represents touchdown. This right here means the hands are down, means you're defeated. No, Pastor, I'm just being humble. Pastor, no, you're defeated. There's never been a day where I don't raise my hand to the Lord in 18 years. When I was where you were at right now, I would be crazy in the time of prayer. I was an Allen in the time of praise and worship. They thought something was wrong with me. I had a pack of cigarettes still in my pocket. And in the midst of praising, I would be checking out the girls, jumping a little higher, being a little louder, because I wasn't there yet. But all of a sudden, man, the cigarettes were no longer in my pocket when I was with my hands up in the air. All of a sudden, I stopped checking out the girls, and I started checking out one girl called Marlene, amen, that I've been with 16 years later now, not touching another female ever again in my life. Why? My hands are up. My hands were praising and worshiping the Lord. I knew that he had started something in my life, and I was going to find out what it was beyond the beautiful wife he gave me. When I started, my hands were up in the air all the time. I was an Allen, hands down. I was radical. I wasn't in the youth gang, and I was radical. Pastor Herb would walk in and say, oh my God, what is he doing now? Those big speakers, It was like standing up those big ones, and I would be, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and I would be doing the whole time of prayer. The whole time of prayer. I was rope-a-doping with the rope-a-doping with the speaker. For years I did that. I got to a place people can make fun of me if they want to. All I know is I'm not smoking cigarettes around. And I'm blessed. I got my business. I'm doing good. The Lord is taking me from glory to glory. They can stay in the back row laughing at me, but I'm rope-a-doping with the devil right now. We come to a Sunday service, and this is our praise. That's some of you in a victorious mode. I hate to see you on a bad day, man. I hate to see you on a bad day. Hijuela. Y andabas de mafioso, matón en los calles por el diablo. We miss our time of praise and worship. And you stick and you stay in the same place of defeat. When your leader right now is giving you instructions that work and that have victory always. Not just a season victory, but a continuous victory in my life. Even through all the battles. The stone was able to bring security, which meant protection, to Moses as well. It brought security. It was also able to bring a foundation where he was able to discern in God and not so much in the battle. It brought a foundation. It brought a clarity to his life. He knew this represented victory, touchdown. He knew it. And he was doing his best. He was doing his best. He was doing, some of you do one praise song, your arms start hurting, right? And it starts off high, and then before you know it, you're like praising the Lord because it hurts. They start aching. I'm doing push-ups now and everything, man. I'm doing my stretching exercises and all that. Amen. I keep my hands up for a long time, but I couldn't do a couple of push-ups. Now I'm doing all kinds of girl push-ups. What? Are you doing even a girl push-up? Who said, oh, man, girl push-ups? You know, I got a broken arm. So I do girl push-ups off my knees, but I can do all kinds of them now. I couldn't do one before. Like I'm in the pinta, back in the prison system, doing sets of thousands push-ups. 10 sets, 10,000 push-ups. Boo, 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 boo. Yeah, pastor, yeah. Sets of thousands sit-ups. 10 sets. Bianca, oh, Marlene there, she couldn't help herself when I got out. I think it's coming back also. Keep her on her toes. How many all need support, rest, security, and foundation, protection? It's going to come through prayer. The Lord was able to see something in Joshua's life that needed to be taught if he was going to take his victories into the promised land. As the battle was taking place, Moses would be calling out on behalf of the Israelites, praying. But I put in my little side note here, another one I did this morning. Amen. Beauty of intercession. The beauty of intercession. The beauty of intercession is, it's not just prayer. When we pray, oh, Jesus, help me. The beauty of intercession is that you're able to go beyond yourself and pray for somebody else. It takes you from not always being on a me page. The beauty of intercessory, you start learning how to think about other people. That's what intercessory is. You start thinking about somebody else. You start thinking even about the strangers in the streets that you haven't even met yet through intercessory. The beauty of intercessory. Here, Moses would be interceding. Is Sandra? Is Sandra here? Yes or no? That's all I need to know. No? Okay. Praise the Lord. It's a side note. It's besides the message. Sandra, everybody's like, wait. So I'm going to get rolling here in a little bit, and I ain't going to stop for knowing what's going to happen downstairs. Amen? Point, verse 12. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. My revelation for that is one prayer warrior called Moses at times is not enough. One prayer warrior's prayers at times in certain battles is not going to be enough to have the victory for the whole. And here's where Aaron and Hur would come in. And the holding up of the hands of Moses. Sometimes we can say, well, skip you. I can do this by myself. Oh, really? Unless you're greater than Moses. I think the Bible says about Moses, there was no one ever greater than Moses. Unless you think it's you. In this particular battlefield, the prayer and intercessory of the warrior Moses, all these years with God, face to face with God, would not be enough. So it's important for you all to come under me, to pray for me. I pray for the region, I pray for my pastor, I pray internationally, and I pray for you guys. It's important that you pray for me and my wife and family. It's highly, very important. It's important that you pray for my wife and I and family. Even though you know I'm in the place of prayer, some battles is going to take more than the intercessory power and favor of God upon one's life. Sometimes it takes more than one to have the victory in one's life or in the victory of the church and what the church is doing. Don't think you can be the loner and just go out there and start doing your thing. There's going to be a battle where you're going to need more than yourself. Others are needed when the enemy attacks God's people or the leader. Aaron and Hur were able to see what the lifting of hands was able to do in the time of prayer within the battlefield of Moses. Joshua saw, the Israelites saw, the enemy was able to see the scoreboard. And so was Aaron and Hur able to see the scoreboard. And they said, how many likes to win? I like to win, man. I like to win. Aaron and Hur says, man, we got to pick up his hands. I don't think they went to it with the intention of picking up the hands of Moses on that morning, headed up to the top of the hill. But they, down, up, victor. And they came under Moses. They came under Moses because if they wouldn't have, not only would Moses have died, they would have died as well. They had to do it for themselves and for everybody. Sometimes we got to leave ourselves out of the equation, people, and we got to look out for everybody. That's the importance of Wednesday night prayer in accessory. It gets good. The Lord is speaking right now. He's speaking right now. I know when the Lord is speaking. And I told them this Wednesday, we will know the true power of the church and who really prays. If they really pray, they're going to be here on this night. They're going to be here. There's a lot of you that pray that should be here on Wednesday night. I do a quick commercial. Because God is moving on Wednesday night. He's speaking on Wednesday night. He's speaking on Wednesday night. We need to get to a place where we're a church that loves to pray. Not when everything's going good. The emphasis of being strong and courageous is that even the greater when things are not going good. Verse 14. This is the little liner that let me know there was something lacking in the life of Joshua when he's my hero. Joshua and Caleb are my two guys. So who's pastor's guys? Joshua and Caleb. They were make it happen guys. They had a good report. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll. This is after the victory, right? Because verse 13 says what? That victory was given that day to Joshua over the Amalekites by the sword, right? So then 14 picks up. Victory is there already, right? 14 picks up and says, then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered. And look at this next in between the lines. And make sure that Joshua hears it. Why Joshua? He had the victory. He was leading, man. He was throwing down. And make sure Joshua hears it. Because I will completely blot out the memory of the Amalekite from under heaven. Make sure Joshua hears it. Make sure Joshua hears it. Why? And then why would the Lord follow, right after this, would follow, be strong and courageous three times to Joshua? Why? Make sure Joshua hears it. Moses knew that if Joshua would one day lead the people, that he would have to grow from warrior to prayer intercessor as well. He would have to learn how to put the sword down. Took me a lot of years to learn how to put the sword down of work because I thought my chair was a lazy boy. I thought it was a lazy boy, and I would be working and working and working and working, going to every job site, every time, every place. I was at every job site because I came here a worker knowing how to fight with a sword in my hand to make it happen. But when I would get to this city, I would come to find out over the years that it was going to take me sitting, doing nothing but being with the Lord that was going to bring the victory for y'all's lives. And I would go for a couple of years feeling I was lazy by spending hours with the Lord. When the Bible says that was the leadership, that was their place to study God's word and to be in prayer. That's my job. I was trying to do that. And plus every job coming, for years I did that. 7 years in Salinas and all the years over here, I carried the same thing. But I would have to learn how to slow down and learn how to intercede. In the time of battle when I wanted to be out there to make sure we had victory, I would have to learn how to sit and be supported by Jesus, rest in Jesus, have security in Jesus, have Jesus as my foundation. For those that know me the longest here, you know what I'm talking about. I would have to learn how to spend time with God. It was my job. But I was so used to the sword. I was so used to going out there and making it happen and making it happen and making it happen. I would have to give that to somebody else so then I could become the Moses on top of the hill, no longer the Joshua on the battlefield. Joshua would have to learn this if he was going to be victorious in the promised land, a place of giants, a place where his own people would start chasing idols and witchcraft and all these things. He could have gotten fought the giants, or he could have done what Moses did that brought victory that day. Joshua would have to learn that the true victory would come through the Lord and the Lord alone. It wasn't all about the sword, but that the victory would come through the Lord and the Lord alone. Being alone with the Lord was where the victory would come through. And I finish off with verse 15. and 16. What was more important? What was taking place at the top of the hill? Or the battle that was being fought in the valley? What was more important? Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord." The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation, which tells me there's always going to be warfare. There's always going to be attacks on your life, on your family, on the church, from generation to generation. Moses could have had a parade that day for Joshua, because the Bible says that Joshua defeated the Amalekites by the way of the sword. He could have had a parade for Joshua and paraded Joshua before all the people, and they would all praised Joshua. He was just part of the victory. But instead, Moses would praise God and build him an altar. Moses would honor God and not Joshua. And Joshua was going to have to learn this lesson. That it wasn't about him. It was about God. Moses, in my early years, I would have honored Joshua. Because I was a fighter. I know what a fighter is. I know what I've seen a true fighter. I would have probably prayed to Joshua. But today, all glory, all honor to our Lord and Savior. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Joshua could have got mad. Moses up there building an altar for God. I was the one in the battlefield fighting. I could have lost my life that day. Missing it. It was all about God. And Joshua would have to learn that it was all about God. He says, Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." Banner's like a flag. It was the rod. He had the rod up. The rod represented the power of God. As long as it was raised, there was victory. But Moses needed the help of the people. He needed people that was looking, that were able to stay focused and have the vision, even though there was a battle waging, a hot battle waging on. He would have to get people that were able to see in the midst of the battle and not put all focus on the battle. But what truly brings the battle victory, that is God. It wasn't Joshua. I know today I'm just part of the work, a voice of God. But he still receives all glory and all honor. And I will continue to build altars through having a relationship with the Lord. And continue to build altars. And continue to build altars unto God and his greatness. Through having a true relationship, it'll cause me to continue to submit as I grow in the things of the Lord. I started where every one of you guys are right now, or in the back row with a pack of smokes, checking out every girl in the church. I made it to the front row, to behind the pulpit, and it's taken a lot of years, but today I know all glory and all honor. It's real easy to preach that message, but is it really being exemplified from your life that God receives all glory and all honor? As the worship team comes up here this day, there's not